We're talking about love, and of course, as we explained last time, the Bible uses at least four different words for what we would translate the word love. And specifically, the type of love that we're learning about really becomes the resource for all the other types of love. It is agape love, which is a God-given love, a very sacrificial love, but it's also a love that we're going to find out today requires action. Love takes a lot of energy. And probably the most famous statement about energy is E equals MC squared, which is energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. However, the amount of energy needed to make great love last forever is energy, all the energy that you're going to need, equals all the mass you have times the light of the world cubed to the third power. Cubed being the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You need all that God is going to bring to bear on you. So as you and I are rightly related to our Lord and Savior, that kind of right relationship of love, the Creator of love, will then we discover our capacity to produce a lasting kind of love. In our passage today, we find out what real love's outcome or product is. I was thinking about the theologian, Buddy the Elf, when he said, I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it. And boy, he was twirling and singing when he did it. That kind of love is what we saw displayed in the baptistry today, a declaration of love. I mean, why would someone do that except in obedience and in love of their Lord and Savior? We have other ways that we get to express that in our faithfulness to God's congregation, in our service to Him, and drawing other people to Him. And well, our passage today is going to really discuss this kind of in a mathematical way where we break it down into the components and then see it all brought together where the sum is far greater than the total of each of those elements that are put together individually. So, the great poet Robert Browning says that love is the energy of life. Love is the energy of life. And through Paul's spiritual prism today, again, we're going to see how the Lord breaks apart into 15 different colors or qualities, the spectrum of love. And interestingly, we find in this passage that all 15 words are verbs. In other words, they require action in the original language. So it means that love is not just a feeling. Love is not an emotion, an attraction, but it is an intent that is active. It's a choice. And love is only love when it acts. In fact, before we go to our passage, I'll just recite to you First John 3:18 says, little children, let us not love in word and talk, but in truth and deed, or deed and truth. So it is by a love that acts. And remember, as he was writing this in the original language, he put a definite article in front of each time he said love. So it wasn't just love, it was the love. The love. So it's by love that acts that we come nearer to God and knit our hearts to Jesus Christ. By contrast, if we refuse to love, then we shrivel and just emotionally and spiritually die. To live in the Spirit is to love. Now, Paul's been contrasting love by teaching what it is not, and now he flips the coin back over and gives the last five qualities. And these qualities also reveal what love brings to those, or what the product of love is. For God's love is the fountain from which goodness flows. So, if you've found 1 Corinthians chapter 13 already in your copy of God's Word, I'm going to invite you to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning at verse 6, and when it starts off with the word it is the love. The love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with truth. Love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Love never ends. We'll just pause there for a moment. Father God, we come before your throne and we realize that far too many things in this world are short-lived. Our time with each other seems to fly by. Our opportunities to express our concern for each other, God, we miss too many of those. But Lord, the opportunities we have that we have not seized to declare our love for You, to not be obedient to Your Word, and to not carry out our love that You fill in our hearts with to the remote parts of the world. Now the time to act is now. The time to let go of what we've been holding on to prevent us from really following. The time to release and really enjoy being in Your presence is today. God, if there's someone here today who has not enjoyed yet the full knowledge of really belonging to You and being Your child, I pray that today would be their day of salvation. God, that they would clearly understand and be ready to say yes to You. God, whatever happens, whatever You do through this teaching, may You be glorified and may Your Word be exalted. We pray this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. What do we learn as we break these parts down again? We find in the second part of verse 6 that love supports the truth. Love supports the truth. It rejoices with the truth. This is the first positive element in contrast to the last negative element in that same verse. Love is concerned about truth. It's not selfish, and it's not concerned about selfish opinions about things. It does not look for tidbits of truth and salacious gossip to pass on. Some Christians who refuse to participate in evil, they may refuse to participate in it, but they kind of enjoy talking about it. You know what I mean? Did you hear about? And then they've got a story to tell. Now, what was it on Hee Haw? They say, I'm not one to go around spreading rumors. And they said, we're not going to repeat gossip, so you better listen close the first time. That better not be us. But tragically, what we find many times is prayer chains within churches can actually become gossip hotlines. And they spend more time talking about the problem than praying for the solution. Folks, we should be praying for the solution. And rather than talk about, do you know what kind of person that person is? I know about that person's past. Let's talk about their future and what God's going to do in their life. And talk about how God is at work in their lives and changing them. So we need to be in the habit of rejoicing in the truth. Anyone's sin is wrong, so we're only to rejoice with this truth. And this is not love for love, just for love's sake. This is love for the sake of obedience to Christ, to just be overflowing with what He's filled our hearts with. And this kind of love that would get involved in gossip, get involved in really stuff that just has no benefit, even if it's true, to camp there. It's not the type of love we read about. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8 says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. I thought your husband would like that one. Love one another earnestly. You'll get that in a minute. Since love covers a multitude of sins. That's the characteristic of God-given love. It doesn't expose sin and glory in it, but it wants to glory in the removal of it and pray for it to be covered with the blood of Christ. Love doesn't spread gossip, and those that love will be offended at the sharing of gossip. In fact, love rejoices in learning and sharing the truth. Good doctrine is really right thinking about God, ourselves, and others. And we want good doctrine. Right thinking, in turn, allows us to love one another in truth with what is real rather than setting some type of self-deception. William Gladstone was the Prime Minister of England in the 19th century. And one night he's working late on a very important speech that he's going to deliver the next day to the House of Commons. About 2 o'clock in the morning, a woman knocked at the door and the household servant answered the door. And this woman that was there was asking if Mr. Gladstone would come and comfort her son, who was crippled and he lay dying on a tenement floor not far away. And without hesitation, William Gladstone stopped what he was doing, set a speech aside, and went. And he spent the rest of the night with that boy, talking with him and sharing with him, comforting him, and actually, in the process, led him to trust Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. And as the sun came up that morning, that boy stepped into eternity. But it was an eternity saved an eternity healed, to never suffer again. Well, as far as William Gladstone, he returned home and he told a friend later that morning, he said, "I am the happiest man in the world today." Now, the true greatness of Gladstone was not in his political position or the attainments of his great love, but a love that would risk a political future to show the love of Christ to a young child in need. Now, as it turned out, that morning he also made what many historians said was the greatest speech of his life. He gained that victory too, but he had been willing to lose it for the sake of a greater one. Love looks for the good, it hopes for the good, and it emphasizes the right. Love does not rejoice in falsehood or wrong, but the primary business is to build up and not tear down. It's to strengthen and not weaken. That is the God-given type of love. We also find in this passage that love develops and empowers. Love develops and empowers. Where it says, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things in verse 7. It continues to develop the positive good done, and it brings these four master strokes of color into the portrait that the Apostle Paul's painting in this gift of heaven in a very, very much an indelible manner. First, when it talks about love covers or bears all things, it's in the original language of the New Testament, the word is stego, which means roof. To be a roof, to become the roof or the shelter. Love protects like a roof over a house. The way it protects from storms. Love throws a protective cover over its object. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, one generation plants the trees and another gets the shade. Aren't you and I the beneficiaries of the shade planted by the generation that came before us spiritually? We hear stories about, the Sunday school teachers, the people that gave of themselves, the ones that stayed in place and taught year after year, the ones that had enthusiasm, excitement, connected with the class and really saw spiritual change happening within their classrooms. You and I are living in the shade of some trees that were planted by our parents and grandparents' generation and provide a shelter that can withstand the worst circumstances. See, love bears the storms of disappointment. Love bears the rains of failure and the winds and the time and the circumstances. Love hangs in there. Love provides this place of shelter. Now, that doesn't mean that love passively bears all sin. It's not a doormat that takes on the feet of its users and just whatever dirt comes its way. Some say bears all things means that love doesn't complain. And I don't think that's what it means. What it means is that love never stops caring. Love never stops offering forgiveness and hoping for restoration. But it's not going to continue to tolerate abuse and evil. You see, love never gets to the place where it begins hating. Not real love. Love never protects sin, but its desire is to restore the sinner. Love cares enough to keep praying, to confront when necessary, and yet always ready to give forgiveness and ready to be reconciled when there is genuine repentance. So, it's kind of interesting, the mercy seat that is talked about in the Bible, where the blood of the atonement was sprinkled, Leviticus chapter 16, verse 14. This blood was a covering, not only, and the seat was actually a covering not just for the ark, but for the sins of the people. Ultimately, the mercy seat was provided by Jesus in the New Testament in His great substitutionary sacrifice. If you read the passages in Romans chapter 3, verses 25 and 26, and Hebrews 2:17 and 1 John 2:2, you just see that in the cross, God threw this great mantle of His love, the shed blood of Jesus, over sin, forever covering for those who will trust in His Son. You see, by nature, love wants to buy back. It doesn't want to savor the curse. It does not condemn. It's there to save, not desiring to judge. Isaiah wrote of Jesus Christ before his appearance on the earth even. And he said, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And in verse 5 it says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement was brought for us, which brought us peace. And by his wounds we are healed. During the Puritan Oliver Cromwell's reign as Lord Protector of England, now this is back in the era about the time of Shakespeare, a young soldier was sentenced to die, and the girl to whom he was engaged pleaded with Cromwell for his life, but there was no pardon to be given. And the young man was to be executed when the curfew bell sounded that night. But when the bell rope was pulled, there was no sound. The girl had actually climbed up into the belfry and wrapped herself around the clapper. So every time they tugged on that rope, instead of that hard metal clapper hitting the sides of the bell and resonating, her body was bearing the punishment. Time and time again. And as they discovered what had gone on, they stopped and they went up to find her. She managed to climb down. She's bruised and she's bleeding. And she's looking to meet those who are awaiting the execution. When she confessed what she'd done, Cromwell commuted the sentence. And there's a poet that really beautifully recorded what happened as it follows. He wrote, at his feet she told her story, showed her hands all bruised and torn, and her sweet young face still haggard with the anguish it had worn. Touched his heart with sudden pity, lit his eyes with misty light. Go, your lover lives, said Cromwell. Curfew will not ring tonight. It's what happens with your sin and mine through the love of Christ. Once you've received that pardon, curfew will not ring for you. You stand pardoned, justified before God. And where love reigns, God reigns. You see, love believes all things. And believe usually refers to God, but apparently it also denotes a confidence in man, because this kind of love is the kind of love we're supposed to show each other. Belief is not, it's not gullible. It actually expects people of the truth to be true. It's not doubting, but believing. Innocent till proven guilty. That concept came from the New Testament, because it believes in truth. Love trusts. It's not suspicious or cynical. The Bible states that love, the love, believes all things, and love believes in people too. It can see the potential in them. The love also hopes all things. Hopes all things. Love doesn't despair, but looks toward the bright side of things. Our faith in God's grace means that we can believe that human failures are not final. Real love has the capacity to view life and live it with an optimism that's refreshing because of what Paul wrote in Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know there's hope for you, which enables you to have hope for others. Our next color in the spectrum of the eternal kind of love, the love, endures all things. And so this eternal circle of love is now complete. It began with patience toward people and ends with patience toward things and circumstances. The original word here is actually two words. It means to remain or abide under. And it was actually a military term to sustain a load or endure adversities and persecutions or provocations and faith and to have patience through it all. It was this military term used of an army holding a vital position where it would not leave and it would hold it at all costs. Every attack, every hardship was to be endured in order to hold fast. That's what love will do. A God kind of love. A God-given love. So love bears what is otherwise unbearable. It believes in what is otherwise unbelievable. It endures anything that less than love would give up on. After love bears, it believes, and after it believes, it hopes, and after it hopes, it endures. And so we find that love, real love, God kind of love, is success. Because love never ends. Love is success. which brings us this culmination of the colors that make up love. The first part of verse 8 says, love never fails. And in that original word there used in the New Testament was ekpipel, which means love doesn't quit. It doesn't go out. The best proof of absolute value of love is its eternal permanence in contrast to everything else. You see, even the other eternal qualities of faith and hope, love exceeds and endures beyond them. Now, wouldn't it be great if God could just kind of download that love into us? Fill our hearts with it. He compares to all the other spiritual giftedness in verse 8 too. He says, as for prophecies, they'll pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it'll pass away. But when Paul says that love endures all things, it means driving a stake in the ground. I'll stand, and I'll stand my ground in loving you. Now, what if that doesn't sound like you today? What if someone you care about isn't loving you this way? Now remember, change happens usually by inches and not by miles. Change happens as people fall on their face before God and pray and really lift these needs before Him. God changes people more than He changes circumstances through prayer. But by allowing changes in inches, remember, you didn't get there overnight. A lot of people you're concerned about won't get there overnight either. So even when change seems simple, it's rarely easy. And the only way we can break old habits is to form new ones. You know, I've heard people say, well, I'm tired of falling into this particular sin. I keep falling back into that particular sin, that sin which so easily entangles us. And the best way to do that, not fall back into that rut, is to fill the rut up with something good. Usually encourage people to spend time in the Word, spend time in prayer, even start to memorize Scripture, as hard as that is for some of us. The challenge of really knowing God's Word and letting Him write it on our hearts. See, the only way we break those old habits is to form new ones. And that takes time, and it takes practice. And that's one of the reasons we gather together regularly. It's why we encourage each other to be persistent, express gratitude for every step of progress that person can make. In his book, Love, Acceptance, and Forgiveness, Jerry Cook describes a church in Washington State that grew in 14 years to more than 4,000 people. And the book includes a commitment that the people in that church made to each other, in which they say, "You'll never knowingly suffer at my hands. You'll never knowingly say, I'll never knowingly say or do anything to hurt you. I'll always, in every circumstance, seek to help and support you. If you're down, I can lift you up. If I can lift you, I'll do it. If you need something and I have it, I'll share it with you. If you need to, I'll give it to you. No matter what I find out about you, no matter what happens in the future, either good or bad, my commitment to you will never change. And there's nothing you can do about it." And may the Lord help you and me to love like that. That's a God kind of love. Love is packed full of opportunities to learn and to learn how to love each other. The world is not a playground, but a schoolroom. Right? And the Lord would have us practice and apprentice under Him so that as we see Him loving us, we learn how to love others. And we can love better. That's why I say learning agape love is going to help you take care of all the other types of love. The brotherly love and the family love and even the passionate kind of love will all get better as you understand and grow in your agape or unselfish, active kind of love. Let me share with you some good news. You are already loved. In the most familiar verse in the Bible, we're told that God so loves the world. That means you. That means me. What did He do? God so loves the world that He gave, right? It's active kind of love and sacrificial. He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So the question for you this morning is, have you taken that first step, finding love in the person and the actions of Jesus Christ? Have you entrusted yourself to Him? This is the starting point. Maybe today you discover that you need motivation or you need encouragement to love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because He first loved us. And so you can look to Christ and the love of God will grow in you. God's love for you can overpower your hurt. It can melt and begin to be a new heart within you. And when people find romantic love, we know it changes their countenance. You see it on their face. They light up, right? They can't hide it from us. When people find God's love and they really understand the depth of it, the permanence of it, the endurance of it, and how that fills our hearts with all the empty things we tried to shove into those broken places, how it perfectly fills our hearts. When people find real kind of love, this new love is all they want to talk about. It's all they want to think about. This morning, several people declared their love for Jesus by declaring that in a believer's baptism. They love Him. They want to follow Him. What is your next step? Maybe you already love Jesus. You've already followed in believer's baptism, but today you just need to be surrounded by people who love you back and whom you can love. Maybe this needs to be your church home. That's okay. We invite you to come. If you need to come and talk with one of our counselors today about how to know that you belong to Christ and that you're in Him, that's the most important step you'll ever take. And I would encourage you, don't stay in your pew if that's talking about you. Come talk to someone today so you can know for sure that you belong in Christ. Second, if you need to really make a commitment to follow what you say you already believe, maybe it just needs people to be praying for you in that decision, that determination. Maybe you've got a challenge that's been holding you back and you want someone to pray for you. Our people will be prayer warriors with you, prayer partners. But we invite you to come. Or if you're coming today because the Lord's leading you here to be part of this church family, either in full membership or shepherd care membership, we invite you to come. Say yes to Jesus. It's His love message to you. Your response is up to you. Let's stand together and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You declared Your love on the cross. It was not a beautiful heart-shaped thing, but boy, what a thing of beauty. That our ugly sin could be covered and atoned for perfectly and completely by the blood of Christ. God, if there's one person here today that's not yet taken care of that, I pray that they'd step out and talk to a counselor today. God, for that person who needs to come because they just need to get some of the road bumps out of the way. They need to follow You more passionately. God, I just pray that they'd step out and ask someone to be praying for them. Lord, for that person who needs to come because maybe they need to come and do what some of these other people did, and they've not yet been baptized as a believer. God, we invite them to come and become a candidate for our next baptism service by talking with one of the counselors and making sure that they know that exactly what that process is. Lord, if You're drawing someone here just to be part of this spiritual family, You're knitting them here, they come from a similar type of church family and faith, God, we just pray that if You're leading them here, we're ready to receive them as they come and talk with the counselor this morning. I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name.
Thank You for joining us today. If you would like more information about Pastor Joplin or about First Baptist Church, please email info@fbckvmo.org or call 660-665-6477. If you need more information about how to be a bold follower of Jesus Christ, we would love to be a resource for you. Again, that information is email info@fbckvmo.org. That's info@fbckvmo.org. Or call 660-665-6477. God bless you and have a great day in Jesus Christ.